All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Right After Dragons, first episode of the series in the books. Dats and Curry here, live right after the show, right about 10:20 Eastern time. Curry, what are you thinking? How are you feeling right now?
I'm good, man. I really enjoyed the episode. I think it's a very strong, it's a promising start, and I was not disappointed, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, I think we put up a Twitter poll. You know, how would you rate it 1 through 10? I think my expectation was like 7, 8, and I think we got like in the 9s, honestly. Not to be like super hype, super you know, recency bias, but I think it was great for a table setter, series setter pilot. I thought it was really solid.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think it was a solid at, you know, lowest score I would say it was like a B+. I think it was an A- maybe, but I think it was it was a great leadoff episode. Set the table, showed us a lot of the key players, and you know, did a great job kind of linking you know, Game of Thrones to this new series.
Absolutely. And I think that was like, I love that in the beginning where they kind of let off and it was just like, a lot of times like shows leave you to like infer things or like pick up on things, or you leave afterwards thinking like, wait, like what did I miss? They just start off like just telling you everything, writing it out on the screen for you. Just really putting pieces together for people who might not know, you know, what they're getting themselves into with this series.
Right, right. And, you know, they started, you know, I watched the, after the episode, inside the episode, where the two showrunners, Ryan Condal, Miguel Sapochnik, both spoke a lot about the episode and just the series beginning as a whole. And the one thing that Ryan Condal said was, he said he loves prologues, and because the show had been off, we had been so far removed from the Game of Thrones universe, you know, seeing it on screen, that he really wanted to start with this prologue. And I think that really helped connect the viewers, you know, back into the universe. And even, you know, that's one thing I wanted to touch on was that the, you know, the prologue, it said this is 172 years before Daenerys Targaryen was born.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. Just in my very, very brief research, you know, the title of the Fire and Blood book is, it says right there on the cover, 300 years before a Game of Thrones. So, you know, I don't know. Again, we're not book readers. Yeah. I don't know if Fire and Blood, if maybe the show House of the Dragons takes place in like the middle of the Fire and Blood book, mm-hmm. that could be it. Or if the showrunners are just kind of going a little off script just with that timeline. But that was an interesting, you know, something I noticed that made me take a note for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that I was going to say them just kind of outlaying everything right there. I know, and I wanted to lay the ground for the listeners, maybe some new listeners here. You know, we're not book readers. We're not giving any spoilers. We're very much show watchers and show reactors and show analysts. So you're just going to get straight show takes from us. No book. No, we know what's happening. No spoilers. But yeah, brief research says 300 years before. They very much put 172 before Danny's born. But I liked it because it set the stage and it kind of just linked everything for not the novice viewer, but just people get acclimated back to the series for sure. So what do you want to do here, Curry? You want to spin through the episode a little bit?
Yeah, so we'll summarize the episode a little bit, talk about the main events and the timeline and just what the key takeaways were. So I think to start, you know, we touched on the prologue a little bit, but let's start with the prologue. So obviously it's 172 years before Daenerys, and the prologue was setting the table for the rest of the season. It started with King Jaehaerys. So he called for an heir to be chosen, and the key quote that he had was, you know, he knew that the House of the Dragon can only be defeated by itself, or can only be torn down by itself.
Exactly.
So I think that was a key quote and some foreshadowing for the rest of the season and the rest of the series, perhaps.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, just in that very first, like, 3 minutes, you're getting so much information. You're getting so much, like, where we are right now. And it came down to kind of like a two-horse race. and the king gets it, right?
Right, so we have King Viserys the first. He's chosen over Princess Rhaenys, Rhaenys, who, so King Jaehaerys, Viserys was his, I believe his cousin or his
Yeah,
nephew. He wasn't
cousin.
a like a direct line, whereas Princess Rhaenys was the, they call her the queen who never was. You know, she was his daughter. She was the direct descendant, but instead they went kind of outside of
My cousin
the,
Vinny, literally.
yeah, they went a little bit outside there, and chose King Viserys. And it's interesting because, as we see later in the episode, King Viserys finds himself in the same situation, slightly. It's still, his family's a little closer, I
Yeah,
guess,
a little
but
more nuclear for sure.
yes, but still he finds himself in the same situation, and as we see, he chooses his seed as
Yeah.
opposed to his brother.
Absolutely. And yeah, one takeaway was, he formed this council that we kind of saw at the end of the episode, but it says like after he was chosen, he formed like this council to like bring everybody together because it's like he knew it was a little controversial and it's like, all right, let's form this little council. Everybody's kind of in, everyone's got a seat at the table. I'm the main dog, but the council, let's lock this in, not not let things get out of hand and not let this kind of controversial, they said thousands of people come in, big, everyone's kind of making their claim to be the next one. He gets the nod, forms the council, and then we're kind of off and running about 10 years later, right? It says like we're 10 years or 9 years post that when the show picks up.
Right, yeah. So now King Viserys has been in power for 10 years and still doesn't have a male heir. So, you know, people are starting to wonder, like, okay, you know, we should probably get something in line just in case something happens. You know, we don't want to find ourselves in any sort of you know, a battle for the throne, a war of succession.
Absolutely. And so we get like the first action scene is we got dragons. We got dragons that are wheeling and it's good stuff. It's the princess on there. And she's greeted by Alicent as she comes off the dragon and you're just we talked in the preview pod, we're getting dragon riders. It's automatic and we get it first action shot of the series.
Right, so Princess Rhaenyra, she's riding. I think I heard the name was Syrax.
Yeah.
I'll have to double check confirm spelling, but for now we're gonna go with Syrax. It's like a yellowish greenish dragon, and she commented that, oh, you know, she's getting bigger. She's almost as big as Caraxes, which is, as we see later, that's Daemon's dragon. And yeah, so she's a dragon rider. She's kind of this typical, like almost like tomboyish
Yeah.
character, where, you know, she smells like a dragon. Like she's into flying dragons. She doesn't want to be a lady. She doesn't really. She's not interested in the ongoings of the council or the throne. Or, you know, she really just, she's like, all right, my father's gonna have his male heir, and then I am free to do my own thing. So it's very much a tomboy. And
Arya Stark vibes. Arya Stark vibes.
yes,
Major Arya
yes,
Stark
100%, 100% Arya Stark vibes. Much, yeah, she's much more Arya Stark than she is Sansa Stark. She's not interested in
vibes.
finding a husband anytime soon, it seems like. But yeah, she seems to be kind of the main character for now, if we had to pick one.
She
We don't,
narrated,
obviously.
yeah, she narrated the open. That was when she
She
said,
did.
yeah.
So she narrated the open, and if you noticed her, it was a different voice than the character, than the actress on the show that we saw, because I believe they have two different actresses that play Princess Rhaenyra. I think there's like a young Rhaenyra and then an older one. So I don't know how many years in the future we're going to see this season go, but there's two actresses that are slated to play Rhaenyra.
Got it. And just real quick, I mean that's King's Landing, right? I mean that's where she's flying over and that like this is like King's Landing from Game of Thrones for the people who
Yeah,
like don't know. Yeah.
so it definitely
Red Keep.
it was a different King's Landing. I mean, it doesn't look the same as we last saw it, obviously, but you know, it's under Targaryen rule, and So it's different. It's hundreds of years before, but yeah. So that was the main setting of everything. This episode was in King's Landing. We saw the Iron Throne. The throne room looked different. One of the main things that I noticed was all of a sudden there's these way more swords just like next to and around the Iron Throne. I don't really remember those ones that were just kind of sticking out of the ground, forming like a barrier even just to get to the throne. But and then the throne itself looked almost I would say like sharper, I guess. I mean, you saw we saw at the end where King Viserys like cuts his hand on the Iron Throne. I don't remember anyone ever being injured by sitting on it, but definitely doesn't look comfortable.
It was definitely broken in over the years when we saw it, in Game of Thrones. Definitely a different vibe there. One thing I wanted to note real quick is just before we move on, is when we talked about this in the preview pod a little bit, was about kind of how like the original dragons were like massive, like huge, and then kind of got smaller and smaller. And we saw as Princess hops off, they kind of like take the dragon, like they were like putting it almost in like a cage kennel type thing. They kind of just like walked it away into like almost like a cave, where it kind of gets it stays. And that just kind of I want to link that back to what you were saying, kind of how like dragons' captivity, like they've gotten smaller and smaller over time, and that seems to be, when Daemon goes down to get his, it's kind of in like the cave, and so that's just kind of where they have the dragons hanging out, and it's just, fast forward 100 years, we're getting a little bit smaller dragons for sure.
Yeah, and that just to go off of what you were saying, Daenerys back in Game of Thrones, she originally kind of had her dragons just going wherever, until eventually she decided for the realm safety had to keep them locked up for a bit. But here you can see that yeah, the dragons are they're not chained up as they were as Daenerys did, but they're clearly kept in control, and at the very least, they don't have free rein of the realm.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right, so let's keep going here. So we get like our little the meeting of the council, right? I mean, that's kind of where things start off in terms of like major dialogue, right?
Right. So, and we're familiar with the small council, just as they have it in the future in Game of Thrones. We have a small council. We have the King Viserys. We have the Hand of the King,
Otto.
which Lord Otto Hightower, and we hear a little bit from Daemon about him that he's power hungry. He describes the council as leeches, so they leech off your power. He said, King Otto Hightower, he's second born. He's not going to inherit nothing. Like he's power hungry and he's using you. So that was an interesting tidbit that I picked up from Daemon. But also, Daemon realize that he also has his own motivations. But so the small council, we have Lord Hightower, Hand of the King. There was, I believe it was Lord Corlys and his last name. I want to say it was something like Valyrian, but it wasn't Valyrian.
Got it.
And he is the Lord Corlys, yeah, but Valyrian. Valyrian. Okay. Lord Corlys Valyrian. And he is the husband of the
Queen
queen who
that
never
never was,
was. So that's an interesting
He married in, yeah, he married in.
link there. Yeah, he married in, so he also is another one who's kind of, you could say, he's power hungry. And as well as, we see Prince Daemon is on the small council, although he basically never goes. But he is the head of the City Watch. So that is the City Watch wasn't really a thing in Game of Thrones. They had the King's Guard. I would,
King's
it's
Guard.
it's you know the Gold Cloaks is the was the King's Guard in Game of Thrones. Here the Gold Cloaks is the City Watch, and that's one thing that Daemon said was we're going to make sure the King's Landing fears the color gold. So I thought that was an interesting quote. They're going to fear the color gold, and he goes out and they, as we saw, dismembered a bunch of people, kind of an ruling with an iron fist, eye for an eye,
Message
chopping off
sender,
hands,
yeah.
chopping off other things. So yeah, that was a really graphic and gory episode. It was a gory episode overall. A lot of blood, a lot
For
of blood.
sure, for sure. But yeah, definitely a message sender there. And then we hear it's tourney time. It's tourney time, like it was back in the original pilot. We got a tourney coming to town, right?
Yeah, so that was a lot like season the first first season of Game of Thrones, where there's a tourney, the King's tourney. That was kind of the whole reason Robert went to
Winterfell.
Winterfell, was to bring them down for the tournament. And he wanted Ned as the Hand, obviously. So it was the Hands tournament. So this was the King's tournament, to celebrate his heir being born. And again, yeah, he was kind of, he was jumping the gun there by having this tournament before that there's an heir. But
Jinxed it a little bit.
yeah, you could say he jinxed it. But yeah, so that scene, that was, it takes you back to season one Game of Thrones. There's all the noble women, noblemen are up in the stands with the king watching. You have the various knights that are jousting and asking for the lady's favor. And we see, Prince Daemon is kind of like he's very Jaime Lannister-esque, where
Yes,
he's
Jamie
got the
vibes.
reputation. He's, the girls love him, and he's cocky and he's good. Some of the other members, so I want to just check and make sure I get this name right. So the one who ultimately wins the tournament, they mentioned that they asked about him at the beginning. They're like, who is he? Like, we don't really know who he is. Someone said something, oh, I think he's like Lord
Common.
Dondarrion's squire, which that's a, Dondarrion, we know that name from Game of Thrones. And they find out that he's Dornish, but because I guess, Dornish features are kind of like darker, almost
Complexion.
like Spanish looking. And his name was, I think it was Sir Criston. Sir Criston Cole was his name. And I don't want to look up too much about him because I don't want to spoil
Spoil it.
anything, but that's all we know for now.
He took down some Baratheons. We were getting like some callback names. You know, it's
Yes,
like, oh, he's
yes.
slaying some Baratheons. Like, okay. This guy's got
So
some street cred.
we saw the Baratheon emblem as well as sigil as well. I saw a Lannister sigil in there. And we also saw that the one Baratheon knight was the Princess Rhaenys, or queen who was passed over, queen who never was. It was her cousin she mentioned, so I guess she's has some Baratheon descent in her. So that's just another family line that we have to look out for in the future. But so yeah, so Lord Sir Criston Cole, he wins the tourney. He beats Prince Daemon in the final. Prince Daemon, then they go to hand-to-hand combat, which is kind of
Yeah,
seems
hardo move.
unnecessary. Seems
Hard,
unnecessary. Yeah,
total
seems
hardo move.
unnecessary. But yeah, so that was you got the violence of Game of Thrones, and that kind of final, or I don't even know if it was the final or if it was just the violence when there was all the violence going on between the other knights. It was overlaid and mixed in with the birthing process for Queen Emma and the obviously took a turn for the worse, and King Viserys had to make a decision between, do I save the baby or do we, leave it up to the gods, as the maester said. So he went with the I don't want to call it a C-section because that's not it, but it was a very, very primitive version of that, and he unfortunately loses both.
He went 0 for 2.
Yeah, so that was tragic, obviously. Yeah, so it was mixed in, as Queen Emma said in the very beginning of the episode to the princess. She said the kind of like the birthing room is our battlefield.
Battlefield,
So it was interesting because, it was overlaid with the battlefield with her giving birth, and fortunately she did not survive that day on the battlefield.
And she pre that too. They're really just focusing on the importance of this heir. Obviously it's the whole, it's like Succession, it's like the whole damn show. And she's saying she was like tapping out before that. She's like, I've tried 5 times, like this is my last one. And I think that's, may have led to him making that call, like this is kind of now or never. And he makes the call to go for it. And yeah, obviously it turns out horribly. They didn't like did you realize like the baby didn't make it until you saw the funeral? Like it was kind of like you kind of like was eerily feeling that, but like what kind of gave that away for you that the baby didn't make it pre-funeral, anything?
There was like a choking
Yeah, it was like
sound
a little like,
where
is he
it
all
was like,
right? Yeah, is he good?
oh, like did the baby not make it? And then the funeral just confirmed it. So.
Yeah, it was just like, oh, like if you're not, it's like, oh shit, the baby's gone too. Like, and so definitely, and it was intense. I mean, that was like very much like old school Thrones intense. Like we were only what, like 35, 40 minutes into the series, and it's like, you're on the edge of your seat already, which I thought, they could have set it up super table setter, but no, we got like a lot of definitive actions here in episode one.
A lot of action in episode one, and a lot of plot action, plot movement as well. But I, yeah, they were landing on very thick throughout the episode that
Succession, yeah.
he needed this heir, he needed the male heir, the pressure's on. Oh, it's a male. I know it's a male. I know it's a male. You
Yeah.
know that he needed a male heir, and that this was going to be it. So, yeah, the succession of the throne, the only thing that can take down the House of the Dragon is itself. So,
Exactly. And now, the wheels they were operating on are wobbly for sure. And the council realizes it. They call the boys together and understandably so. He's like, Jesus Christ, like, I just lost husband, I mean not husband, wife and son, and we're, but they understand it's like it's a very delicate situation if they feel there's any, uncertainty in the future of the realm or in terms of the ruling, things could pop off for sure.
And that's what he says. He says, I just lost my wife and my son. Do we have to do this now? Like,
What
it's
the hell?
not really the best time. But yeah, so they kind of have to plan out the succession. The one thing I thought was a little ridiculous was Prince Damon is just watching this going
Yeah,
on.
that was
He
bizarre.
has his secret viewing room of the council. Like that was a little ridiculous,
That was,
but
yeah.
So they're
Little plot hole there.
yeah, I feel like someone should know that that exists if you're having these secret meetings. Anyway,
It's like they're meeting in the Oval Office, and this guy's just hanging outside. He's
yeah,
just in the window with the window open.
exactly, yeah. But
It's
yeah, so he's listening. Clearly Lord Hightower does not like Damon at all.
What's your thoughts on Lord Hightower?
I don't know. It's too early to tell. My
I know, yeah.
thoughts for now are, he's the hand of the king, so clearly Viserys trusts him. But and it seems, I agree with him that Prince Damon seems to be not the most
Steady
set
hand.
for, yeah, he doesn't seem like the ruling type. But at the same time, so while we're on the subject of Lord Hightower, at the end there, he kind of like,
Bizarre move.
yeah, he kind of,
That's why I asked you the question.
I'll quote, I was watching with my wife, quote my wife, she said, did he just pimp out his daughter?
Yeah,
So
that's why
yes,
I asked.
he kind of pimped out his daughter to the king, which was just a wild move. And she's, Lady Alicent Hightower seems to be very good friends, if not best friends, with his daughter, with Rhaenyra. So that was a wild move, and I don't think that we've seen the end of that. I think
Yeah.
that is going to continue, and I don't know if it's going to be because Lady Hightower is power hungry, or if it's all going to be at the hands of Lord Hightower. But
Yeah, and that's why,
yeah,
yeah.
that was a little sketchy.
Yeah, that's why I said, and I want two points from this. First being, pre that, like Otto, I was kind of getting like Ned Stark vibes, like noble guy, like trusted of the king, like clearly an outsider a little bit, but like, and even like, the king says it, like, like he's like a great dude, like he's like the man, like, and like the Daemon calls him out, when they had that dialogue there for sure. But so I was getting like Ned Stark vibes almost, like noble guy, like wants what's best for the realm, like happy to sit in the number two spot, and then he just pulls that move, and it's like, whoa, like. What the hell, bro? Like, are you kidding me? Like, it was surprising, but like, just like clear foreshadowing, clear, like this thread is going to be pulled throughout at least the season for sure. Now with Rhaenyra and Alicent, just best friends or anything more than friendly? I didn't really understand that in the very beginning, but. You're saying it's just friendly situation, right?
I mean, are you asking if there's any like
Love connection.
romantic
Yeah.
attraction there? I have no idea. I mean, it seemed like if there was, I feel like it might have just been one-sided from Lady Allison, not from
Yeah, I don't know. When she said
Rhaenyra, but.
in the beginning, like, the dragon's getting bigger, it can fit, it can ride two. I was thinking like, oh, like, what's this, what's the situation here? But then Rhaenyra seemed to be a little bit starstruck or heartstruck by the knight who won the tournament. So I was like, all right,
I thought she was a little starstruck by Prince Daemon the whole time, to be honest. But
Exactly. Yeah.
and that's something we discussed. You know, the Targaryens are known
Incestuous.
for incest. They breed with their own family, kind of keep the bloodline pure. Which we don't co-sign with that. We don't
Yeah,
support that here on this
incestuous
podcast.
endeavors. Yeah,
But yeah,
not
so
compatible.
I just thought the whole time they kind of had a little weird relationship. In the beginning of the episode, he gives her this necklace, and maybe it's not something. Maybe I'm just looking too into it because I know the Targaryens. But it seemed to me at first, even just the way she was watching him during the jousting,
Yeah.
they would cut to her, and she would have this kind of wry smile on the whole time. So
Yeah.
I kind of thought that they were showing that she's into Uncle Damon, but.
Yeah. The necklace seems a little bit creepy uncle vibes for sure. But it, like, when you put the Targaryen down, it's kind of like, wait, who? And that's what when we'll get to this, but when he was talking about when he was asking about the dragons and Targaryens, I thought like maybe that may like come up, like, but instead he kind of took it in a different direction. So, from there, I mean, air for a day really just set things for the air for a day quote really just set things for an absolute spiral for our boy Damon, right?
Yeah, so that was rough. We saw, he's with his friends and his gold cloaks, and they rented out, one of the finest gentlemen's establishments in King's Landing, apparently. And
Yeah, Silk Road, yeah.
that was a wild, wild party. And yeah, apparently
Bro
he kind of
banger
apparently he kind of had a toast to the death of the heir for a day. So that was. Yeah, that was sad. And like his brother calls him out, and he says, "Oh, we all mourn our own ways," which is true. People mourn in different ways, but he was not exactly mourning. He was celebrating.
Yeah, boozing up and drinking with the boys is that's clean, but giving that speech is no good. One thing we skipped over, I want to hop back real quick. Our boy the king, he's rocking some sort of lesion, some sort of health concern, right?
Right. So yeah, we saw King Viserys. He's got this like infected wound on his back, and we don't really know what it's from. If I mean, maybe it was a cut from the Iron Throne, but yeah,
That
it's
thing's
and
cutting
they're
everybody.
yeah, and like they're trying to treat it with leeches, and they say, we can cauterize the wound. Like I don't know, man. It's just medicine, obviously, in whatever time period this is, was not the most advanced,
Yeah.
and it's obviously it's foreshadowing to some sort of health issues for the king, which obviously then leads to some sort of succession issues, because Prince Damon does not seem like the type to go quietly and go back to the Vale with his wife. And in fact, he left the Vale, or he left King's Landing with his favorite whore, and
Yeah.
not doesn't seem like the kind who's going back to his wife.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's finish up the recap here real quick, then we'll get to some quick analysis, then we'll shut it down here. But we kind of get to, air for a day, gets our boy Damon sent out of town, and we kind of have a big speech, and kind of the pinnacle, the apex, the climax of the episode is the princess getting her shot at the throne, right?
Yeah, so something she didn't want,
No.
which I think it's always kind of a good sign that the person isn't power hungry.
Yes.
Jon Snow is the type, he was never power hungry, never wanted it, but everyone's like, no, like you should get it.
You're the man, man.
Yeah, but anyway, so yeah, Princess Rhaenyra is voted or announced, as the next heir to the throne. And King Viserys, he's he has her summoned into the dragon. I don't even know what room that was really, but they had Beleriand the Dread, the dragon that Aegon the Conqueror rode. They have that skull in there. It's enormous, and he's saying, what do you see? And she's like, you haven't spoken to me since
Yeah, what the hell?
mom and the child died. Like, what are you talking about? And yes, so her answer, I guess, is satisfactory to the king. And he said, you're going to be my heir, and this is really important. Oh, and by the way, the world's going to end, and we need to prevent it, basically.
Yeah, by the
He
way.
says, we have this big secret, and it ends up being, this is the future, the Game of Thrones ending, kind of, is,
Yes.
there's going to be, the world's going to end, there's going to be this terrible thing from the north, a long winter, and, we are kind of the only ones who can stop it. Which ends up, it's kind of true, but
Yeah, for sure. And so, one other thing in there that I kind of want your deep thinker analysis on, is there was like a little part in that dialogue where they kind of talked about the dragons and the fact that like it's almost like an illusion that like the dragons kind of run shit, but it's like we make it seem as if like we run the dragons because we kind of do, and that kind of like gives us like our power, right? So like there was like that illusion line. That I don't know if it's foreshadowing. I think it was just kind of at least like a head nod to like, hey, like this is important, and like the reason we're like where we are is because of these fucking dragons, right?
yeah, it 100%. And King Viserys, that seems like to be something that he understands, and she kind of says it as well. She says, without dragons, we're just like everyone else.
Yeah.
And yeah, he understands that the power that dragons have. And to quote Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah.
So the dragons come have a lot of responsibility. So when someone like Daemon is a little unhinged, or any Targaryen, as we saw, Game of
Yes.
Thrones, the power that comes with the dragons, when it's not used the right way, can be disastrous, and it can have consequences. So,
Absolutely.
yeah, that's something that whoever the ruling Targaryen is needs to be aware of, and needs to try to, as Viserys counsels his daughter, that it's something that we need to protect.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, and then she gets sworn in, right? I mean, everybody kind of says, we're on board, and that's kind
Yeah,
of
and if you noticed, there was Lord Stark of
Rickon.
Winterfell came
Yeah.
down. Yeah, Rickon Stark. So way back, I'm not sure where little Ned comes in, but he's clearly generations before Ned. But yeah, so we saw that. That was a
Head nod.
nice little head nod to Winterfell, the North. Obviously, it's the Seven Kingdoms. That's one of the kingdoms. So, yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, we get the and yeah, it's just the kind of the throwback to the Song of Ice and Fire, and that's kind of like it started like the emphasis of the beginning episode, I think, was like to like tie it to the greatest television show of all time, Game of Thrones, and I think the end of it kind of tied it to the show and just kind of the series in general in terms of hey, this is the big picture we're playing for. We already saw it unfold, but. That was like the heavy emphasis and like the climax of the episode
Yeah,
was
it's a
that.
good reminder that, we're in that universe, and that's where this ultimately leads to.
Got it. So, I mean, that's kind of full recap there. What is your kind of general takeaways, thoughts? Obviously you watched the inside the episode, you watched the preview. Where do you want to take it from there?
Where do I want to take it from there? I think, well, obviously we have to discuss some Goat and Woe of the Week nominees, as we always do. We usually get to that kind of at the end. I did not now so I watched it just to step back a little bit from the details of the show, but I watched it on HBO Max streaming, started at like 8:55-ish.
Early bird special.
And I will say there was no real like theme song. There was no like intro song, which I was a little disappointed by. I also like I wouldn't have been mad if it was just the Game of Thrones theme exactly,
I would have been pumped. I would have been
but
thrilled.
I was hoping for just like their own kind of spin on that, and we didn't get that. So I'm hoping maybe we'll get that at some point, but we didn't. And I also because it was on HBO Max, there wasn't like a preview for next week's episode.
Oh,
But as
really?
far as
You didn't get
I didn't
that? Yeah,
see
we
one.
got it.
I don't
We
know.
got it.
I don't know if there is one.
Yeah, there is one.
Okay. See,
It
I didn't
wasn't. It
see that.
wasn't. It wasn't. That's. It wasn't next week episode. It was like coming soon. It was like for the season. It was like season preview.
Okay. That I think I've seen, but
It was like
yeah, I
still to
meant
come.
like a
It was like
next
still.
preview.
It
Okay.
was still to come, and it was like a lot. It was more than it was. It was original content for sure. Because you got like a pissed off Damon. You got it was. It will. You'll have to watch. We'll have to do it in the preview pod, or it's where we break down the trailer for next week. But yeah, this was not on next week's Game of Thrones. It was very much in this season of House of the Dragon, for sure. So yeah, you'll have to see that. Inside the episode, though, any pickups from that?
Yeah, pick up some from inside the episode with the directors. I mean, they were talking about a lot of things that we mentioned already, but they mentioned the prologue was very important. They mentioned the battlefield overlay with the pregnancy and the birth that kind of the women's battlefield versus the men's battlefield. And then they mentioned, at the end that the Song of Ice and Fire, obviously we already know what happens there in the end, but that is this secret that the Targaryen rulers passed down. So.
Yeah, and I think kind of zooming out here like you just did, I think that like it was su we talked about in the preview kind of like how like this might be a little more central, like in terms of like based in one location, or like a little less like, hey, we're at the wall, and now we're at King's Landing, and now we're in Dorne, and now we're in the Iron Isles. I think that this episode obviously was, but I think that especially based on the preview for the rest of the season, I think we're definitely getting that great Thrones like different plot lines happening at the same time, and that was kind of small version in battlefield scene. But I think we're gonna get back to, especially with Daemon getting sent away, and obviously it appears there's gonna be some outside entanglement here in terms of a shaky throne and a shaky heir. In the preview it did say that the realm will never accept a female on the Iron Throne, and so.
Yeah, and that is a big deal. Obviously, we saw the Viserys was chosen over a female ruler, and now he's doing kind of the opposite. He's picking a female ruler. So it's never been done. It's he's breaking 100 years of precedent. He's progressive. He's an innovator, and yeah. So that's something we got to see how the realm reacts. How the people in power, obviously we saw they all kind of swore their allegiance to her, but we'll have to see behind closed doors what kind of conversations, motivations people have if they end up choosing to side with Prince Daemon or if there's any other major players that come into play.
Absolutely, and I think that it's not just they're putting a female on board, but it's over Damon, over a male, over a clear, like, I mean, they said it flat out, like, Damon's the heir, like, why are we even talking about this? And now it's not just not Damon, but it's a female, and so yeah, I think shit's gonna pop off for sure, and I think we'll get to that different plot lines popping around like classic Thrones. If not next episode, at some point in this season, which I think made Thrones, super, super just compelling with these, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10, 12 minute, scenes at different places for sure. So, anything else from you, Kurt, before we get to Goat and Woat?
Just a thought I had because they referenced it a couple times in the episode. What do dragons smell like?
Yes. It was like,
Because multiple times they were like, "Oh, you smell like dragon. You smell like dragon. Go get a shower."
yeah,
What do dra like? Is that
is it bad?
like? I imagine it's bad, but I don't know. Just a thought.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a few things like that where it's kind of like, I wish we could get a little more. If I had to, ask the audience question, I wish I could get some more info on that for sure. Any other ones like that? Any other tidbits?
No, I think that's the was one of the only thoughts I had left in my notes that that I haven't addressed yet. So,
when he was bleeding, right, in the hand, it was just because he was gripping the Iron Throne really hard.
I believe that's what it was. Yeah, I
Yeah,
think he was just
it wasn't
so.
like my illness is my lesions are, progressing, or it wasn't a health concern.
No, I think it was just he was so jacked up. He was so intense. He was gripping it. I think it was more just he slipped his hand or whatever. I don't think it was
No.
any more than that. But we might see that his wound doesn't heal. It could be a spreading of the infection,
Got it. Got it. 10 dragons. They said 10 dragons in play. They said that in the prologue.
Okay, so and we've seen two,
Yeah.
Syrax, and then Caraxes is Daemon's dragon. So one thing about Daemon, we didn't talk about this yet, but Daemon, I think obviously they're setting him up to be a major player for the season and probably beyond. But he has Caraxes, the dragon, red dragon, very very big. It looked huge to me. And he also wields Dark Sister, which is a Valyrian steel sword.
Yes, the dark.
Now there's no White Walkers or anything, and there's not going to be, I would imagine, because they didn't show up until Game of Thrones. But Valyrian steel, it's the strongest, best blades, best swords, and that's really the only purpose of that. But it's very prestigious to have a Valyrian steel sword.
Absolutely. Two things I'll say. One, whatever this series pans out, our boy Sir Criston could have ended Daemon on the freaking battle on the freaking turf when he asked him to yield. You know what I'm saying? This could
And
all
how about he was using a flail?
have.
The spiky,
Yeah.
ball on
Yeah.
a chain. He's
Maybe.
using a flail. What a wild
Yeah.
weapon choice, but he
Bizarre weapon
crushed
choice. He gets the win. He could have killed him right there on the spot. He yields, and now we have this whole thing unwound. But yeah, I'll call back to at least a few times during these pods saying Sir Criston could have ended this whole thing. And then also, I just want to like. I think Sapochnik being in it, and I don't know exactly how much like HBO is pushing this, but I just think that like they could have came out and been like. Especially big budget, like they got their audience, like, and like not really even put any sort of nod towards, like Thrones. Like at least they could have said like maybe like two, three sentences or something, but it seems like they're acknowledging kind of the magnitude of Game of Thrones and like playing to that, which like I'm very much for. And I'm very much like almost like appreciative of because like if they came out and just like it's a completely different show, like it's the same universe but not even different, none of these characters are still alive blah, blah, or born yet, they could have played that, but it seems like they're like, hey, Game of Thrones is the greatest show ever and we have your attention because of that and we're not gonna like ignore that, which I think is like cool and fun for the viewers like us.
Yeah, and one thing with the dragons that you had mentioned. So we saw a lot of the dragons this episode, but they didn't lean too heavily on them. They weren't used as like kind of a crutch. They were featured, but they weren't. Yeah, they didn't lean too heavily on them. We had a dragon scene in the beginning with Syrax. We had a dragon scene with Caraxes, and we had the Dracarys scene, another head nod to Daenerys, because that's the Targaryen command for the fire. But yeah, with Sapochnik, he's not gonna rely on the dragons to be all the action. He knows what he's doing. That's why we had a little bit, not a battle per se, but we had the jousting, the war element. But yeah, so my big takeaway after tonight is that I'm confident the show's in good hands,
Yes,
and
exactly.
I'm excited to see where it goes.
Absolutely. Feel very much the same way. Yeah, I was looking like I was thinking like, if we get a B9, if we get a B minus tonight, I'll be happy, because it's like could have just fell flat on its face. I think we got in the A's, nothing lower than a B plus, like you said. I think we got in the A's. It's just really, really, really good opening episode. Anything else before Goat and Woot?
I'm ready for Goat Moot.
All right, what do you got? Let's get some noms. We should have put out a tweet for the noms, but what do you got in terms of, let's start with Goat. Best episode. Who the best epi?
I think we definitely can throw Sir Kristen in there for sure. He won
Yes.
the tournament, so
He's catching the
that's
eyes of the air too. He caught the eyes of the air for
yes, he
sure.
did catch the eyes of the air. I think, I mean, I think, I don't know, like Prince Damon, like, yes, he had a good week, but he also had a bad week because he got banished, got kicked out.
He had a good week because he didn't get his claim is still very legitimate.
Yes. So I think he's more of a goat than a woat, for this episode. Pausing on goat and woat for a second. The time of the episode, it seemed like this episode covered probably, maybe like a month, maybe a little more than a month, based on, first they're planning the tournament, and he says, oh, the tournament will be a week, and then the baby will be born by the end. And then Princess Rhaenyra says to her father at the end, "Oh, you haven't talked to me in weeks since mother died." So I think the whole thing took about a month, maybe a little more. So just to show what kind of pace this show is going to have,
For sure.
because that was always an issue with the later seasons of Thrones, was the pace. Everything
Absolutely.
was very much fast forwarded compared to the early seasons, where it was
Very
things
thorough.
took much longer. Yeah, they're much more thorough. So I think the pace was solid. I don't think they fast forwarded anything or jumped, too far ahead. I think it was solid pace.
Absolutely. And I want to back up even just like a half step and just say, if you're a first time listening to the pod, didn't listen to Ring of Thrones, we're talking goat and woat. We're saying who had the best episode, who had the worst episode in terms of characters. So that's what we're doing here. Each end of each episode, we nominate four people or three people. We put it out on Twitter right after Drags is the new Twitter handle. Right after Drags, we might switch that up at some point. But throw us a follow on Twitter if you're stumbling upon us where you listen to your favorite podcasts. And we put out a little poll here, who had the best episode, who had the worst episode. So early stages of the series obviously, but putting out who had the best and worst episode. So Sir Criston for sure. Damon, I agree, he's got GOAT potential. For the
Princess Rhaenyra,
Princess
obviously,
Rhaenyra, she
she's
gets
now the heir, so she
yeah
had a big, big come up this episode.
for sure. Lost the mom, not great, not ideal.
For sure.
But in terms of character development, character getting a win, she's getting the nob. Anyone else? Are we putting a right in for the fourth option, Curry?
We'll put in a write in, like just some other characters that were prominent in this episode. We had Lord Hightower. Like, I don't think he had a particularly good episode. Lord Corlys Velaryon, he was fine, but I don't think there was anything there that dubs him a big winner this week. So for now, I think we'll stick with our three, and we'll have a write in, see if anyone else has any suggestions. Maybe I don't think we ever got a name, but maybe Prince Damon's lady, since
Yeah,
she
she had a big come
left the
up.
whorehouse, and now she's, potentially going to be, she could potentially be, lady of the realm or queen of the realm if things
Her
go
way.
the way that, yeah. If she gets everything that she wants or everything that Damon wants, then yeah, she could end up being next to him while he's on the throne. So,
Absolutely. Worst episode. I mean, two obvious
worst
options.
episode, yeah, the obvious ones, you Queen Emma, obviously, RIP.
Yeah, pour one out.
So that's definitely one. I think,
I mean, the king.
yeah, King Viserys. I mean, he had a shit episode. His lost his wife, lost his son. So yeah,
He's got health concerns.
he's got health concerns. Yeah, he's got
Unruly,
wounds.
unruly
Not a
brother.
good, yeah, not a good episode for him. Lord Hightower, I think, didn't have a great episode, but I don't know if he's even goat worthy. He was kind of neutral. Woat worthy, I think he was kind of neutral. We did have a tweet in from my brother Matt Curry. He said, "Word of the week was guy who got his balls cut off."
Yes, he got clipped.
That was certainly unfortunate for that guy.
For sure. And I think you could put Damon for having the worst episode. I mean, I think we can put him for goat and whip potentially because he's ousted, and I mean, he's got an uphill battle if he wants to get. He went from very close and his brother defending him to a very much uphill battle, a series long potentially battle for the Iron Throne, which was not the case, 15 minutes left in the episode.
Yeah, no, you're he definitely he set himself up to have his claim, and he's going to have some supporters, some strong supporters. But yeah, he didn't do himself any favors with his brother and with a lot of the people of power in King's Landing.
Got it. All right, I'm good, man. You good?
Yeah, I'm good. Looking forward to next week's episode. I got to watch the preview. I hope there is maybe another preview, but
yeah.
Yeah, we'll be tweeting out all about the episode all week. They usually release photos for the upcoming episode. We can release them. A segment that we used to do that we did last few seasons was Death Watch. Now that we have some characters, maybe we can start throwing some Death Watch together, but that'll be for the preview pod for now.
Got it. And I mean, Curry, it seems like, I mean, just macro, it seems like we got a good show here. You know, we got something to work with for sure.
Great content.
Yeah, we're 58 minutes in or whatever it was, but we got a good one, I think, which is huge. I mean, I think that's like, it's almost like a sigh of relief, like, all right, I mean, it's hard to tell, it's just a pilot, but it seems like, damn, like, exceeded expectations for sure. So I'm happy about it. You all good?
Last thought. Erling Haaland looks like a Targaryen. He looks like Prince Daemon, striker on Man City.
Yeah, that's very true. That is very true. All right, you good? I'm going to set it down here, my man.
I'm good.
Awesome. Preview pod coming up. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. If you listen live, that's one thing I'll say before you shut it down. If you're listening to us in podcast form, we go live right after the episode each week. We watch the preview, sometimes inside the episode as well. Then we flip it on live. It's instant reaction. You can tune in and listen with us. You can tweet in, and we'll get your tweets on the air. We'll do some more of that in the upcoming episodes. And then if you miss anything or you want to tune in midweek, we release the preview pod. So we're here, and we will hear you, or you will hear us, I should say, again next week right after Dragons.